Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
All right, bang, bang. Welcome to the Portnoy Show with Eddie and Company present.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, how we feeling, Dave? We all rested up? We feeling good?
Yeah, I'm fairly right. I didn't sleep well last night, but that had nothing to do. I just, one of those nights, couldn't sleep great. And then construction started, which always, like the 8 a.m., there's just construction everywhere. But I feel okay. Yeah, thanks for asking, Eddie.
Of course. How was the fish fry, Bob Huggins?
It was good. It was a huge crowd. Very pro Dave Portnoy, very pro Barstool. It was kind of crazy to be on stage with Huggins and Bill Self. I mean, those are two fucking legendary coaches just chopping it up. So it was fun. It was a good night.
Did you know Self was going to be on the stage beforehand? Like, what did you know going in?
I don't know when I found that out. And I did not know that I was going to be on stage with both of them at once till they called Bill Self up and I was already on stage. I don't think they knew that.
What did you say?
I don't think they knew that. Like, it was never brought to my attention. They were playing Kansas the next day. Huggins and Self clearly get along. And they're like, hey, Bill, will you come do this? And I think he said yes. But I don't know how long in advance they knew he was going to be there.
I mean, obviously, we always knew Huggins was the man. I was like, Self took your jokes in stride, too, I thought.
Yeah, yeah. No, he was very good, very self-deprecating, good sense of humor. And it did kind of turn into a Bill Self roast. So, yeah, I thought those clips were, like, funny.
Yeah, no, it was good. How was what did you think of the bench mob surprise?
I was kind of stunned. I had no idea they were going. I don't know why they were there. But I guess, you know, Rico likes to wiggle his way into stuff, so he wiggled his way into it.
They have a did they do anything besides the pizza surprise?
I think I guess they were there a day early, right? And they were doing stuff with Huggins. But I had no idea.
They got a tour of the facility.
They were coming from the far end of the auditorium, and they're like, you know these guys. I'm like, what are they talking about? Who are they? So Rico, classic Rico. Like, I mean, I was caught off guard that he was there. And I'm like, oh, I can't believe you let this guy come. And Rico at the end, he's like dead serious, like, thanks for leaning into it. It's like, what do you mean lean into it?
You thought you were going to shit on him on the stage. You thought you were going to shit on the bit.
I did.
Not a bit guy.
I did shit on him on stage.
You called him JV, but it could be much worse, to be fair.
I mean, there was like 3,000 people in the audience.
What? They have a live show in Iowa today. Can you wish them good luck?
Good luck.
I think it's
High Noon sponsoring. Good luck. Don't throw any High Noons at anybody's heads.
That was a big that's what set everything off. You know that, right?
What?
When you were talking about their live show in Ann Arbor, Rico knew that was coming.
No, Rico told me that he was metaphorically throwing the High Noon at me. Yes, I knew that.
Yeah, so everything is good luck to the boys tonight. Hope it's a great show. What happened with the 500K?
They put me on the spot big time. So I was planning on donating, I don't know, I hadn't decided, 25 grand, which I think is a pretty hefty donation. Like, I don't think that's anything to sneeze at. I donate a lot to different things that I don't really publicize, but people always get, I don't want to say confused, but it's like they want you to donate for everything. They know I have money. It's like, donate to this, donate to that. It adds up. So I was on stage, and the host is like, you're a competitive guy. It's like Pat McAfee donated $1 million to the cancer hospital at West Virginia. Will you match it? It's like $1 million. You want me to give $1 million like out of my pocket right now? First of all, McAfee went there. He's like an alumni. I thought I was doing a favor by fucking getting my own plane, getting in and out of West Virginia on a Friday night. Like, I thought I was already kind of being a hero, but. And people are yelling, they're like, do it, do it, do it. It's like, Jesus Christ. I said no. If it's like, I got to look at, I don't just have $1 million to like throw around. And I ended up doing 500 grand. Like McAfee did it when he did his FanDuel deal. And he did a bunch of different charities. That was his biggest, the cancer hospital. So like, yeah, I'm a charitable guy. But to put somebody on the spot in a live audience with thousands of people being like, will you donate $1 million fucking dollars? Crazy. Crazy.
Do you remember the first time you got put on a spot?
Yeah, it was fucking Packy at the Revivalist in the Hamptons. He put
I was thinking before that. I was thinking even further back.
What?
Milton's.
No, I wasn't put on the spot for that though.
You just wanted a peacock around.
No, that wasn't. Early. Yeah, no, I wasn't put on the spot. I went to a silent auction with Milton's. And WEEI was there and like sponsored it. And this was after all my shit with WEEI. Like, oh, yeah. He belongs in jail. He's a blogger in a basement. And by this time I was doing pretty well. So I just went on a mission to buy every single auction item. Like just to like whatever they put up, I just bid and to the highest bid, just be like, fuck you to EEI. But I wasn't put on the spot. I was a silent auction. I was put on the spot.
That was Glenn Ordway showdown, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do remember
that. He turtled. He's like, I didn't say that like you did. He's like, we can be friends. No, we can't. I didn't lie. You're a liar. He's like, well, I was just in his grill.
I do remember that one. Yeah, I heard that.
I mean, that's crazy to put somebody on the spot for $1 million. When they're the host, I flew to host your thing, which I thought was a nice thing to begin with. Like, not many people are flying to Morgantown from Miami on a Friday night. In and out, and then they want $1 million fucking dollars.
I mean, heavy is the head who always brags about being worth $100 million, I guess, right?
I mean, yeah, it's my net worth. Liquid, just throw $1 million. Like, yes. You run out of money pretty fucking fast if you're just throwing around $1 million donations without even giving it a forethought.
Yeah, I mean, you're rich, but you're not, you can't boost your three schools rich. I don't think you're there yet, right?
You run out of money fast. If you're just throwing around $1 million donations in this, like, oh, here's a mill. And what am I going to do? If someone asks me to, like, host something again, I'm going to be like, well, are you asking me to host it? Like, because I'm a good guy to host it? Or are you trying to shake me down for $1 million?
So were you kind of mad at that dude? Or you're just like, I think that's kind of
I wasn't mad. Listen, when I raised money for the Barstool Fund, I was putting people on spot to do it. And I guess when you're raising money, it's a little bit different. But yes, as a rule, I don't think when somebody is doing you a favor or a solid or whatever you want to call it, which is what I was doing by going to this event, I do not think, like, they didn't ask Bill Self to donate $1 million on the spot. Like, I do not think you should do it in the fashion they did it. No, I don't. I wasn't mad, but I don't think that I would not do it that way. No.
Yeah. So you're so 500K you did to the Barstool Fund as well, right? To kick it off with Lamonis.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What else is there? Like I'm asking. So you're not like you're not bragging about. It. Is there anything else that we could know
that
about?
I've given that money to?
Yeah.
I don't even know. I like I said, I don't publicize it a lot. And it can be little.
Stuff.
It can be $5,000, $10,000. There's a guy out here in Miami who I forget what he needed, $15,000 or something to pay for like an accident. And these are just going off the top of my head. Like, his fiance, his wife got injured or something. I think I did what, $80,000 for that Chaps one. There's just endless ones that I've done. For 20 and under. Now, everyone hearing this, I almost want to cut it, is going to hit me up for it.
Well,
so it's hard. It's like you can't say yes to everything. It has to be whatever you got to. If I know the person somehow connects with me, right time, right place, I don't know. But, I mean, anybody with money, I'm sure, gets asked to donate all the time. I'm not complaining about it, but it's like I do a lot.
Do you have, like, a budget guy? Maybe there's, like, someone could say, like, hey, you got X amount for charity this year.
No, I don't have a budget guy.
Well, what if you got a budget guy? Maybe good thought?
I don't have a budget guy.
Is your accountant aware of this? Because that could probably be good.
Yeah, I'll say that. And I don't know what happens here because they're trying to build the hospital at West Virginia. It's not built. So it's like, what happens if it never gets built? I don't know.
Hopefully it gets built. And then we also, are we in talks for the naming rights to the West Virginia Stadium?
I would entertain it. I haven't heard anything beyond him saying you should name. I think he's just starting to view me as like a pot of gold. But I mean, you can gamble in West Virginia. So I don't know how much. I don't think it would even cost $500,000 a year to do that. I don't think. I think that would be on the very high end of how much it would be for the naming rights. It's a yearly thing, obviously, but $500,000 seems like a ton for the West Virginia Coliseum or whatever it's currently called.
Yeah. I mean, West Virginia, like you said, though, it's good. It's a good state for Barstool, legal state, rough and rowdy. There's a lot of good things there.
Yeah, I love West Virginia. That's part of the reason I love Huggins and I like West Virginia. I actually had a good line after that when he's asking me. I'm like, why don't you go fucking ask Bette Midler? People loved it.
Bette Midler hates West Virginia.
Hates Fucked West up. Virginia.
Yeah. Well, good. Glad it was a good time besides you getting shaken down. What did you think of the Sophia with an F cliff that was taken off last week?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't surprising. She's desperate for eyeballs. Her narrative changes all the time. I mean, again, listen, I've said this before. Alex Cooper was no angel in this thing, but she came to her senses fast, played her cards absolutely perfectly, has continued to be like a monster, proved that she's the talent. And I can't imagine being Sophia. You just fucking, I mean, she's like, who's it, Steve Dinklage or whatever, the guy from American Idol?
You're the American Idol guy. I don't
Dinkelman,
know.
Whatever his name is. There was two hosts. It was Seacrest and Dinkelman.
Oh, okay. I did know that, yeah.
I don't have anything necessarily against Sophia. I mean, when it all happened, obviously it was a big to-do. I can't imagine being in the situation she is. She just, by her stubbornness, idiocy, loyalty to suit man, whatever it may be, literally at minimum, you know, gave away about $30 million. All she had to do is keep her mouth shut for like six more months. And so it's tough probably to put your head on that pillow and go to sleep, but it's all her fault. And everything she says to the contrary is a lie. Now, she shouldn't be mad at me and calling Barstool disgusting. If her and Alex stayed in alliance, who knows what would happen. But she got left behind. And I mean, nobody's fumbled the bag more than her that I'm aware of in recent memory.
So you think, obviously, her losing out and then you going pretty hard at her boyfriend was probably a result of like her shift in narrative, being like, oh, they're disgusting. She's just latching onto something. Is that what she'd say?
Yeah, there's no truth to anything she says. I mean, I deserve to go hard at her boyfriend. That's what we do. But I've said this 1,000 times. If the situation was reversed and Sophia reached out and was like, I want to work with you guys, and Alex didn't, we would have worked with Sophia. I did not have a favorite in this at the time.
And wasn't there talk for like a brief second there where she would maybe do her own show?
Yeah, I offered that to her.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that.
Yep.
Was there any overlap with Peter? Like, I mean, obviously, I know you were in L.A. last week and whatnot. I don't know if he's there in
Peter
New York
who?
Base now. The Nelson.
What do you mean overlap?
Like, have you seen? Like, has there been anything since? Yeah, I feel like it just went quiet out of nowhere.
No. I've never met him, never been in the same circle, same room, as far as I know, nothing.
I don't know if she'd ever do it, but if she would you entertain having her on this show?
I have a good relationship with Alex, and I know she wouldn't want that, and I defer to that. Would if it wasn't for that. I don't care, yeah.
Yeah, all right, well, maybe we could see.
I mean, I think Alex's perspective, and I'm putting words in her mouth, is the only way Sophia can stay remotely relevant in any sense is by talking about her or I, and she doesn't want to give her, you know, it's over. Like, she won, and she won big. So why help her? And yeah. I felt that way with certain people at different times. It's like, we get nothing out of it, and you just give your enemy publicity. I don't really think of her as an enemy anymore. but their relationship's way different than like mine with them.
Yeah, and I mean, she's doing so much, like, where's she's that Julia Fox, that's everywhere.
Alex is a I've
everywhere.
Not to be a broken record, she's a female Joe Rogan. I mean, she's that big.
Mm-hmm. Report last week from the, I believe it was the New York Times, DraftKings lost $326 million in the last quarter of last year, $1 billion for the year. You seem to feel vindicated, validated in your statement.
It's not vindicated. It's what I've been saying the entire time. You can't spend the money in this industry that is being spent on advertising and not get your fucking ass kicked. We don't do it. It's a different model. DraftKings is saying this is expected and just wait because eventually companies will disappear and we'll have market share. That is their what they're saying. They keep pushing the dates back. We say, well, when companies disappear, we'll start spending more and we'll steal market share and increase. So Wall Street has turned. Basically, Wall Street is saying we're no longer, you got to start showing you can do something. And they brutalized them with the stock price down 20% when those earnings came out. So the shift is coming, and it's what I guess we've been saying or expected.
Yeah, because what would that Wynn report was, what, a month ago probably, that they might be looking to get out?
Yeah. It's just a brutal industry. It's hard to make money, and it's hard to make money. It's, again, broken record. When you have to spend so much to acquire your customers. And let me tell you something. The one thing about DraftKings, it's like, okay, or any of these guys. Same with, like, FanDuel, I'm not sure the exact details. But DraftKings, you look at, like, Lebatard and the people they're signing up, right? That's a three-year deal, I think they did with Lebatard. So they're saying, well, people fall away and we'll stop spending money. Well, now in 2 years, Lebatard's contract's done. You're going to have to spend all that money to get him back in. What if we want Lebatard and spend all this money, aside from the fact there's obvious, like, people that may hate us in that one. But say someone else, another company wants to spend. I don't know how they think the spending is going to stop. And that's the difference with us. Like, Penn doesn't have to do that. Like, there's no re-up with us. They have us.
How many do you think are left standing at the end?
Like, I don't think DraftKings, FanDuel are going anywhere. I don't think Caesars, MGM, us. Those are probably the players, and there may be consolidation. Like, from I'm not involved in this. I don't think there can be a more obvious synergy than between us and DraftKings. Like, I think it's game over if we merged. Honestly, I think that. I'm not involved in that. But if I looked around and my brain's going, DraftKings, Barstool, because they have very good tech. They have the market share that they got to spend a ton. And they're spending all this on marketing. We could just erase that. All right, combine where you're marketing. I think it's a total game changer. Who knows? I mean, again, that's just me with no knowledge, no nothing. But to me, it's like, oh, my God, look, they have what we need. We have what they need. Bang. Who knows?
So think it out loud then. You wouldn't probably care which way it would go. If there was no Barstool Sportsbook, or would it, like, if they went
with it? No, I wouldn't care. I don't think it would matter. We could market either. Mm-hmm. You maybe could even keep them separate. Like, I know, like, the Score is still remaining, you know, while we are.
Yeah. What's going on with that? Is there any update?
I think they're planning on around April it'll be live. Sometime in April.
And it'll be live in, like, because it's live
Ontario.
In Canada right now.
Okay. No, it isn't.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I thought it was. I thought Mattress Mac threw some on the Score.
Yeah, but the Score is legal in certain states in the United States. But it's not legal in Ontario, which is obviously their home market.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be big then. Interesting. And how much do you think New York matters? Like, what's the how that shakes out? You think that's, like, everyone's watching that? If that,
like, I mean, we talked about briefly, you can't make money in New York right now. The tax rate's way too high. Will that come down? Maybe. I'd love to be in New York because I think we just could acquire a ton of customers there. But your question, if people are watching New York, not more than anything else, I don't think.
And you said in 2 years, what if we wanted Lebatard? Is Barstool, or is Penn actively looking for new pieces to acquire?
I feel like I still have the green light to try to make a run at anybody we see fit. There's just very few people out there that I think can move the needle.
Yeah, I know you won't say because you don't want people stealing your shit, but do you have your eye on anyone currently?
No, not really.
No. So as it goes.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Two guests joining the show now. We have Pat and Joey from Out and About. Dave, obviously.
So you guys are fucking, huh?
Well, no, that was planned. We are not fucking. Yet. We have like an ongoing joke on our show that like Joey wants a date and I push him off.
I'm not joking.
So we like played into it at the last show.
Yeah. And you played into it off stage with no cameras on?
No. I can neither confirm or deny. We were in the green room and everyone was like screaming at us to do it again. So I was like, all right, I guess I'll fucking kiss him again.
Okay. Well, I got a text. Let me read this text here that I got from Big Cat.
Was he boned up?
No, he wasn't. Okay. Where this is. Oh, so we talked about it, obviously, on the rundown yesterday, and he hadn't seen the clip. After the show, he watched the clip. Quote, I just watched the clip. Pat and Joey are definitely fucking.
We're not fucking. I just went for it. I was like, I'm not going to go up there and like half-ass like a make out and a lap dance. I had to like go for it.
We have to commit.
I'm fine with going for it, but the offstage going for it with no cameras on is where it gets a little bit, I'd say, gray area.
Well, there was a camera, but that footage may or may not have been burned. So
because, I mean, KFC was on the rundown. Like, am I allowed to say they were like fucking off camera?
Well, I don't even remember. I don't even remember like the makeout after the show.
Oh, I do very clearly.
Well, you know, but it was quite the live show.
Well, it depends. Is there any incentive for inner office romance?
No, I think there's disincentive. I don't think that. I think that's frowned upon.
Good. Okay, I'm new here. I don't know what the rules are.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's like universal. Okay. In fact, I think Erica has sent a company email out before, like, stop dating each other, because we have had some office romances. And especially with you two, the thing with it always is, and not just you two, you do a pod together, but if anybody dates, I think the risk is the relationship ends, there's not good feelings, and you're still working together. That's where it's like, uh-oh, things get hairy.
Yeah. Well, I was afraid after I, like, saw you on the rundown, you're being like, are they dating, are they not? I was like, oh, great, Dave's going to think I, like, got this guy in here, like, just who I'm dating, like, just so I can fucking get him a job. But no, it's all part of the shtick.
Well, Pat told me, he said no fats, no femmes. So that rules me out, girl.
Listen, it wouldn't be the first. I mean, Brandon Walker fucking has a sister. Every day is something new that nepotism dating something.
Yeah, I know. He did with a sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, no. Yeah. He's moving. He's got like the Mississippi pipeline. His whole family are all moving. What was that show? What the movie where the guy's family,
with Jeff?
No. What?
What are you talking about? Not Uncut Jeff.
Not that one.
Righteous Gemstones?
Righteous Gemstones.
I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Oh, no, Austin's saying the Korean movie with something.
Yes, that is the movie I'm
Parasite.
Talking about.
Yes.
Yes, Parasite. That's what Barstool is. That's what Brandon Walker has turned Barstool into Parasite. All right, well, then, I mean, I don't have any more questions. That was it.
Do we have to disclose our makeout to HR, or are we good? Are we good to go here?
I think the world probably already saw it, so.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got some questions.
Can I call you Uncle D, by the way?
Uncle D?
Yeah, that's what I've been referring to since I started here.
That's fine. This is the first time we've spoken. No?
I know. Nice to meet you. Thank you for having
me. Nice to meet you. Yeah, yeah. You're welcome.
You're
I'm glad
like
you're
what
here.
You see,
I
guarantee it.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it. Yeah, a lot of people saying it. And well, what do you come from? Like the real world? Why were like Snooki and Jay Wow?
Oh,
like, what is your relationship?
Jersey Shore. So I'm best friends with all the Jersey Shore cast.
You are?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I started doing some makeup artists from Hollywood. And so I used to do their makeup before, you know, I came over here. So I was doing that, and now I got into comedy.
Gun it. Yep. Yeah, I told that story. Like, I saw after I posted the clip, like, 2 seconds later, JWoww was like, please tell me this is real.
Yeah.
And I'm like, JWoww?
Yeah.
Is this fucking JWoww? Like, who else is JWoww? So I was a little confused by that.
Yeah, yeah. But. So I'm tight with that crew.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, are you, Joey, are you on, like, Billboard somewhere in, like, Russia or somewhere?
Well, yeah, I used to work in Moscow for 6 years on the Home Shopping Network selling makeup. So yeah, I'm big in Moscow. Not anymore. Now I'm over here. But I lived many lives. I'm very old.
We're trying to bring the Russian crowd to Barstool.
How old are you?
43.
Oh, you're my age.
Yeah.
So watch out with the
twinsies.
Very old.
Twinsies.
Yeah.
Twinsies. Twinsies.
All right. I mean, I do more. I'm glad you brought them in. We cleared it up. They're not fucking.
No, we're not fucking yet.
Yeah.
And you got a makeup show coming? Is that right? Are you going to do some with makeup?
That's right. I'm
going
to do some Barstool beauty schools, and I'm going to do beauty tips around the office using the gentlemen as my models. And, you know, teach the masses all my teachings from my beauty industry. It'll be good.
Dave, will you appear on the show?
Maybe.
Well, if I'm in town, sure. Yeah,
we can be flown down to Miami too if that's anytime. Something you're if that's something you're interested in, we'd be more than
no,
happy
I don't
to
like
the trip.
I don't like our employees coming here, to be honest.
Noted. Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Well, last question. Do you guys, is there a beef with Out and About and Tea with Publicity?
No, well, he won't stop fucking talking about her. And it's like she's getting sucked into our world.
I like picking on her.
Why?
Well, because she's an easy target. And, she thinks she's hot shit because she came from the Hollywood world. But I have something to tell her because I'm also in the Hollywood world. She's, you know, I like the girl, but I like picking on her. She's like, it's like a big sister, little sister thing here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
I have good intentions, but it's just fun to fuck with her.
Beautiful. Okay. Well, good. What day is Out and About out? Where could people listen?
Wednesdays.
When
you get our new merch, ma'am, our ma'am shirts available.
Joey, did you know that one time Gay Pat asked for his username not to be Gay Pat? I'm like, nope, it's going to be Gay Pat.
Yeah, for sure.
I was like, I remember I asked you, I was like, you know, like, I want to be Pat. Now you're like, but Pat McAfee's Pat.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck, got me there.
Everyone still
got me there, boss.
Even my friends, my sisters, no one thinks you're gay at all. Even my sister was like, Joey, are you really made out with that guy from work? And then he's
hopefully that
no one knew he was gay.
Put the
haters
to rest.
Oh, yeah, you can't fake that.
Yeah,
no,
there was passion.
Put any rumors, not that there were, to rest about that.
Yeah.
Pretty clear.
Well, you described my lap dance so grotesquely. You said I was wiping my dick on his face.
That was an accurate description.
My body didn't bend the right way. I was like, oh, fuck, I got to get up here and really give a solid face fuck.
He was smooth like a seal, though. I liked it.
It was something.
Yeah.
Joey,
yeah.
Do you have a celebrity rival of some sort?
Not really.
Is
no.
Someone feeding you these questions, Eddie? Like, what?
No, I had questions. I had questions for them.
No celebrity. Do you know of one? I don't know of any.
No, I just figured since you work there and everything, I figured it'd be someone you
hate.
I always kind of like that.
Oh, not yet. No, everyone's been really nice to me since I've been here.
Well, a little sass you don't like.
A little sass. Well, because he's a on-the-record homophobe.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Oh.
No, it's not true. Not true. That's the narrative that we were.
Oh. Imagine we got a fire by mistake.
Right? He said that. I was like, ooh, here we go. No,
there's no rivals. Everyone's been really, really nice to me.
Oh, that's good then. I always like when people come in with pre-rivals, like how Jerry hates Kevin Connolly. Like, I thought maybe there might be someone who you're
not yet. I'll have to think of one. But no, right now I'm in the clear.
Okay, good. But no, I came with questions because we usually have guys on who we hired, Patty the Batty Expression. So I kind of wanted to see what Joey was all about.
I have a question. What's in that beef kit? Now that's something I can get interested in.
You guys would like that. We got to get you guys down to Chicago, and we'll set you up with a beef.
That was my nickname in college.
Gay joke? Was that a gay joke, Eddie?
Beef kit.
Oh, I mean, no, he asked.
Will like that.
Oh, yeah.
The allies have a keen ear, Eddie. The allies have a keen ear, okay? Try and keep up.
Oh, all right.
All right, Eddie, watch yourself. That's how you get canceled. You guys will like that.
But no,
I did not go too hard on the guys, did I? I feel like I did.
Yeah. Well, I asked about the beef. I can handle it.
Yeah,
and then
Eddie's like, you guys will like that.
Well, I guess I got to reevaluate how I say guys.
Well, you guys will like the beef kit.
Well, I think they'll like where we're at anyway. Our office is a block away
Sorry,
from
yeah,
Boys
you guys
Town.
Should go to Chicago. Don't go to Miami. Go to Chicago.
Yeah. Can we now? Can we throw a gay party at the River North Bar?
Of course, right?
Okay, good. I mean,
can we? On a serious note, Eddie, we got to create trivia night. You guys got to get a team.
What? Rick just texted me about that.
Yeah. So pick a night, Tuesday, Wednesday, trivia night.
Mm-hmm. We'll do it. All right, guys. Anything
right.
else?
No, we're good.
That was better. That's it. I think.
Thanks right. so much for having us
Thank
on.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Cleared
thanks,
up. Not fucking.
Not fucking.
All right.
Got it. Go listen to the show.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was great. characters.
People like
characters.
The show.
I mean, how could you not? It's their social's very funny. Their clips are funny. It seems like it's going great. So credit to Pat, you know, kind of getting Joey involved.
Yeah, he's grinded his ass off for the opportunity.
He really has. He really has. So I'm happy for him.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good move. Oh, this is going to be, this is Kareem's dream episode to title. Dave Portnoy talks to two employees who made out, right?
No, you mean like get us canceled. Yeah, well, I do like clickbait.
What do you mean? Why would that get us canceled?
I don't mean canceled. I just meant, like, I don't know. I meant, like, algorithm-wise on YouTube, it'd get. I don't think YouTube likes you saying.
Make out?
I don't know. Anything, like, little Scandi.
Oh. Well, I guess.
That isn't going to be the title of the episode, I'll tell you right now.
YouTube's kind of prude, I guess.
Maybe.
I meant to ask, too. It just popped in my head. What's your biggest Michigan donation?
I've never donated to Michigan.
Oh, so that's. That's kind of funny then.
Yeah, no, I was starting to sweat in the hat. Yeah, no, I've never donated to Michigan. I don't love all the way they do things at Michigan. Like, to be honest, I don't like what they did with Big Ten and football. They were like the last team to play. They're kind of crazy with COVID. Like, they would not, just because I went there doesn't mean I'm going to fucking donate. I would be faster to donate to West Virginia than I would to fucking Michigan.
Yeah, you got to like what's going on there. That's what Greg said about the U. So, with Cristobal coming back.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the Billions clip you tweeted. That was it was a burger review and a pizza from a pizza form.
Yeah, I mean that was 100% me. Yeah. I don't watch that show anymore. I watched the first couple seasons. But that was based on me. I mean, anybody who says otherwise is a moron.
What did you think of the reporter who got canceled with the broken back?
Oh, I saw that. I don't know what that report, the one that was Stafford and Kelly. I saw obviously the clip, and then I saw McAfee do like a 30 tweet thing, like saying he donated to the GoFundMe and didn't know what she stood. I don't know what she said or did or anything.
Yeah, she got. But could you imagine that? You
what did she do?
She had some bad tweets.
On the scale of 1 to 10, bad. How bad?
And
what were they in regards to? I don't know nothing about what was said.
Yeah, there were some ends, which is not good. Can't do that.
Like how were they quoting, or was she calling people?
From the ones I saw, there could be more. I don't know. The ones I saw, it seemed like it was quoting.
And how far in the past?
From like 13, I don't know how old she is, but like
I don't
like
know enough about it. But I mean, yeah, that's the internet. It's just vintage internet. I don't know enough about the. I can't comment on whether it was rightful because I don't. Oh, here we go.
There was a tough one about Asian people. Yes,
there's the first one.
That's bad, really bad. That one. I'm reading the Asian one. Wait, go back to that. Go back to that. 2013. So she's in college doing this?
I assume so, but I don't know for sure. I don't know how old she is.
Okay, go.
I didn't see those. Oh, okay.
It's more from 2013, 2014.
Yeah, these are fucking bad. These are bad. bad.
Yeah, I didn't see these.
But I mean, listen, they're bad, but they're all old. They're all 2013. Do I think someone should be canceled a decade later? I mean, I don't think you should be canceled, but they're bad. So it's a tough, I just don't like in general when people go all the way back. And a lot of the times the people leading the cancellation probably have the same shit in their past. I've said this a bazillion times, but it sucks. But I don't like this mentality. You go all the way back. People have gone through everything I've said. People already know. I've never had anything close to what any of that garbage was. But yeah, it's going back 10 years is tough. It's a new age. Like, people were online fucking talking like idiots. Do I think you can judge somebody's entire existence based on tweets from 10 years ago? No.
But the thing was, this wasn't
someone. Should you be held accountable? Yes. So I don't know.
Yeah, they weren't. That was really bad. You can't. You should never say that shit. But at the same time, this wasn't Josh Hader who just pitched well in an All-Star game. This was a girl who broke her fucking back falling off a stage.
Right.
Wasn't even
and
like it was a high to a low.
It's so like everything is so. You know, I like. It's so pick and choose who you go after. Like, you know, Kobe is celebrated by everybody. This weekend he's celebrated by everybody. He has one of the most heinous, like, acts on his record. Very gray area. But something happened. He's on the record in a report saying something happened. He's used the F word. Like, he free pass, basically. And then somebody like this, you go back and you're going fucking bananas on. So it's just, it's more than anything, I guess what I'm trying to say is the hypocrisy of who people decide to go after. That's what drives me nuts.
Yeah.
But it doesn't excuse any of it. But just go after everybody or go after people equally, you know?
Yeah. It's crazy. But it's just, who are the people who like instantly control search and.
Crazy. That's a crazy like thing to think. Oh, this person broke their spine, fell off a stage. There's a GoFundMe to help. Let's go try to bury him. It's a weird, weird take.
Yeah. Unless if like someone knew that that's how she still is today and they're like, hey, I got to get this narrative out here.
No. They're definitely because there was nothing recent. So they're definitely control searching for buzzwords.
Yeah, but if there was someone who does like who knew that in her past, like they knew that.
Yeah,
she kept
right.
That behavior.
But it's like if she was still like that, she wasn't expecting people to be searching her social media. Like it would have been more recent stuff, I would assume.
Yeah, fair.
Like, and you look at our friend Mooj, right? Mm-hmm. Number one shirt seller. Like he came after me. He had just as many as that girl using the N-word, but yeah. He was mad at me for singing a lyric 5 years. It's just. Like, what are we talking about?
And his narrative gets pushed. And
correct.
And it doesn't. He doesn't get buried for it.
Right.
So you're right. It is interesting what people pick and choose.
It's the hypocrisy. I mean, and he's the most hypocritical of them all. Because he'll pick and choose, cherry pick, things that are so far out of context. And then he's doing things privately. Like, mine were public. Like, I was saying it with the camera rolling, knowing it was going wide. I didn't realize the amount of offense it could cause singing a lyric, and I won't do it again. But it clearly wasn't out of hate or, like, malice or it was meant to be viewed. His shit was private, which is 1,000 times worse.
Yeah.
And he's the one coming after me. It's crazy.
Anything ever happened with those guys you had on a couple weeks ago? The Midas Touch or something like that?
No. I don't like being in that world.
Yeah. Well, are you sure?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know. Sure. I don't know about that. I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, they asked to do a weekly thing on it, and I was like, no chance. So, no, I don't like being in that world. Yeah. Oh, really?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Well, I mean, I just gave you a pretty concrete example.
I kind of did, though.
You like being in that world. It's like, well, they asked me to be in that world, and I'm like, no, thanks. I want no part of it. So.
But you go on Fox all the time. That's
what I say. Depends on the subject matter. Generally, I'm asked to go on when it's something I've spoken about before they've approached me.
So if they come to you with a subject matter that you like, you would do it then?
No, but it's like usually if I'm on Fox or Tucker, they've seen something that I've ranted about and like want to talk more about this. Yeah, I'll do that. They don't generally, hey, what do you think about fucking Russia invading Ukraine? Like, they don't do that because I haven't talked about it. It's things I've ranted about, like whether it be business or Goodell, the Kaepernick Nike thing. It's things I've talked about. They're like, you want to come on and talk about it? And then I say yes.
So then the same side, though, if they asked you to something you talk
about. They're
very
different. Tucker, for the most part, knows I don't want to do politics. He's a political show, but we don't talk. They want to talk politics. I have no interest in that.
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't care. I'm just pointing out something that
Go on occasionally other Fox shows, but they don't treat me the same way Tucker does. Tucker knows where I'm coming from, which is he doesn't want to talk politics. The other guys will always bring politics in, and nope, I don't want to do that. So I say no all the time to other Fox shows.
So you only trust him, and who's the other guy you do a lot? Varney?
Yeah, Varney's never political, ever. That's a business show.
I'd be interested, though. I mean, did you feel when you went on Cuomo, did you feel like he got super political?
What was I talking about there?
That was the Barstool Fund.
Cuomo? I don't like it.
Yeah, it was during that time period. Yeah,
no, it was Reddit, wasn't it?
I remember that got confrontational, so I think you're wrong.
It was Robin Hood. Robin Hood's story goes beyond business.
You guys can go back to sleep now.
GameStop frenzy.
Looking that up.
That's what I said.
It was GameStop. Yeah, it was. That he was adversarial because he viewed me as a conservative. Meanwhile, he's a crook and a thief and was fired. So maybe not thief, but dishonest and doing shady shit with his brother.
All right. So we'll not be appearing on that show again. For now.
Unless something so close to home hits.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the hard dick business, David.
Roman. Helps you fuck right. Maybe we should have out and about. Two dicks are better than one, right?
You should
be like reading these all the time.
On paper,
If you're gay, two dicks better than one.
On paper, yeah, you're right.
Most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. Folks at Roman, online men's health company, changing the game with Roman swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman swipes are clinically proven a way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, fast-acting, don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use, just the swipes out of the packet. Swipe it on, let it dry, you're good to go, that's it. It'll be hard as a fucking rock. Go to GetRoman.com/Dave to get first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/Dave, the hard dick business.
All right, let's do some inside Barstool here. There was a big company meeting last week. I know I saw KFC talk about it. I saw Minahan talk about it, about HQ, there is a new corporate values. And I wanted to go down this with you. You seem totally off guard by this.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm off guard.
I'm right, by the way. You went on to talk about the Barstool Fund. The PR girls just told me. They booked it.
When you Google it, it says Robin Hood.
It's Robin Hood.
I'm going by who booked
it. Barstool Fund. It had nothing to do with Barstool Fund.
Find out.
GameStop owns it. Gaz wrong again. Went on Chris Cuomo talks stock. Okay. So is that all? So what is that just?
It was 4 minutes about the Barstool Fund. Then you went and talked about Robin Hood. That was what they just said.
It was nothing about Robin Hood, really. I mean, about the Barstool Fund.
Watch it back.
So you don't know what I'm talking about here with this, these core brand values,
no.
Dave?
No.
Guys, were you on that call? Because to my understanding, it was a lot of producers and social media type deal.
So I was in the meetings on the development of the values, because that was something that the leadership at Barstool needed to put into place as we hire and bring people in. What do we look for in people? What should we stand for? That kind of stuff. So there was a lot of corporate.
I have no interest in this, Eddie. Who cares? It's all garbage. You got to protect it. That's like the protect your ass language. It's what that girl who's like, they want me to sign this. Yeah, so we don't get fucking sued. We're in a different world. We're a different age. But you know what? We look for weirdos in content.
Can I run down them? Do you want to comment? Okay. Number one, rep the brand as best as you can.
Okay, yes, agree.
Number two, we have lots of different brains. Be open to them.
Love it.
Number three, never change who you are. That's who we hired.
Okay, these are good. So far, these don't even sound corporate. I agree with all of them. This almost sounds like, I think there was a little bit, and we're going to try to get back to this, and we've had some turnover. And it's definitely, I've always said I'm not the greatest manager, but I always just let people do whatever the fuck they want. I think that's an advantage. Some people are like, oh, it's disorganized. People come up with ideas I would never know. We got into a habit, I think, of people going to production on the content side, being like, can I do this? Can I do that? And they're being shot down because it didn't fit necessarily with like the vision of what maybe production thought. But like production should not be making those decisions. I never shoot anything down. I would have never come up with Caller Daddy. I would have never come up with PMT. KB and Nick are fucking weirdos. Caleb Sunday Conversation. These are ideas that are uniquely in each person's brain. And one of the strengths of Barstool is we let people do whatever they want. And I always still, people will be like, I had this idea, got shot down. I'm like, what do you mean shot down? Like, you don't, first of all, you shouldn't be going to production and you don't need resources. That's where people get a little bit confused here. New people seem to think you need resources to create content. You do not. This is your resource, all right? You need an iPhone. That's it. You can basically create anything with an iPhone. So go do it. And if it's good and starts picking up traction, we'll put resources behind it. I think that is kind of what those points are driving at. And it's a point I am going to send to everybody. Like, I don't want to hear, well, I don't have the resources. Yeah, you do. You have this. And if you need somebody else and we don't have somebody to assign it, go on fucking social media and say you work at Barstool and you need an intern or something. I don't fucking care. Like, figure it out. Because the people who started here had no resources and all became big stars without resources.
So being on the opposite side of that, I feel like you are told different things from that side, though. Like, you are told, like you can't. I mean,
that's
Paul, you know what?
That's incorrect. I've never, ever said that. I don't know why people are going that route. Like, that, I guess that's a new, like, phenomenon, which I should have been better at snuffing out. And I think maybe production thought they were doing me a favor, not bringing it to my attention. But, yes, that's incorrect, and we're going to clarify that very much. I have always let people do whatever the fuck they want.
So going to a relating topic.
But
then,
you cannot use resources for whatever you want.
So going to a relating topic from 2 weeks ago then, if Jordan wanted to go down there and do that video or that interview show and she just brought her iPhone, you're saying she would have been able to do that?
Correct. Pay for her own ticket, pay for her own hotel. iPhone, yes, 100%.
Okay, so that's a distinguisher there. She would have to pay for her own travel.
Yeah, create it yourself.
Okay. All right. Gaz, anything on that?
Nope, we talked about this recently. Yeah, so that's going to be the
that has never, by the way, ever, ever changed for me. Like, you do what you want, and everybody at Barstool has a gigantic advantage versus the rest of the internet because you're at Barstool. So create your video, walk around, be like, hey, will you be part of it? Will you retweet it? That's the game. Don't rely on us to promote it. Don't rely on the main accounts. Prove you have something. We can tell when you have something, and then we'll put our weight behind it to market it.
Yeah, I guess just the only difference here, I'll just say too, is because you're not in these meetings with the business side where, you know, it's like, all right, here's what your brand kind of sold for this, here's what you sold for that, and you know, because like
that shouldn't be happening.
No.
Okay. Like, and we are changing. Like, ads should not dictate content.
What about when you use that against people that they don't bring in a single dollar?
Yeah, that goes both ways. Like, that means you're not creating content that's resonating with people. But that's part of it. But you have to take your best shot. So if you're trying to do what ads is telling you and it's not working, if you're a content person, you're sitting there being like, I didn't take my best shot. Like, you have to believe in what you're doing. And you're also, if I think you're good enough and the content is good enough, I don't care about ads. Roan, Caleb, KB, Nick, long time. No money behind anything they're doing. Did not care. Unique, I knew it was good. If you're doing stuff that's more mainstream and can be replicable, yeah, you should find a way to do it.
Yeah, so I guess that's where, you know, another recent discussion we had about, like, a little sass. And so your thing was it just hasn't been long enough for him.
Correct.
Okay.
Little sass. People would puke if they knew the numbers he was trying to jump to. You would puke. Like, Little Sass is very talented, and if he stays with us, we'll get his money.
Mm-hmm.
Little Sass wasn't being paid 10 cents. He wasn't going from a nickel to a dime. He wanted a gigantic raise. Mm-hmm. He'd been here for 5 seconds.
So longevity matters as well, I guess, here.
Everything, yes.
Yeah.
It's all factored as one. I mean, it's a case-by-case basis. But he came to me when it's relatively brand new.
Yeah, I kind of feel like there's three pillars to be successful here if you do, right? You bring in money and you get numbers. You're a carnival character, which you enjoy very much. Or three, you work very hard.
I don't know what you mean
by that. You love the carnival character. What do you mean?
What do you mean? I don't know what you mean by that.
You know exactly what I mean by that.
I do not.
You know exactly. You're telling me there's...
Eddie, thinking like Whack Packer type people?
Yes.
I don't think I'm partial to those guys.
I mean, anyone who's watched on YouTube sees your fucking face and knows what I'm saying. But that's the three... Pell, would you agree with me? Those are three pillars.
If you bring in money, it makes it very easy.
Yes.
There's three things. All right. If you bring in money, it's easy. And we're happy to pay you and want to pay you. That's great. If you're just weirdly talented... And create content that, you know, a simple way to look at it, if you leave, will people care? That is a lot of what I look at. If I leave, will people care? And there's other people, like, I love Balls, obviously. Balls isn't marching into my office saying I want $500,000 a year. So if people start asking for a lot more money, yeah, you can start looking at, well, what are you bringing in? Like, it changes things a little bit. If people aren't asking for gigantic raises and are being part of content but are, in my mind, reasonable, that changes it. So it's a bunch of different factors. But in the end, I always look at, if we don't rehire this person, will people care? And are they replaceable? And if the answer is no, that's a feather in your cap. That's leverage. And also, this is an old Barstool. I wish I could pay everybody a gazillion dollars. Not my fucking money. So I'm on the content side. But I still now have to get, like, approvals and make sense and budget. So I need stuff to go in and argue on these people's behalf.
Yeah. Okay. I felt like that was a good rundown. Why are you smiling about, Paul?
No, I just like, you're like, well, yeah, it's just funny, your reaction sometimes.
That's the only thing that gets me sometimes is that, Dave, you're so fucking huge and you're so obviously, look where you're at now. But
and
like,
I'm wildly underpaid.
And I know. We've talked about that before.
Wildly underpaid.
What do you make?
Wildly underpaid.
What are you getting paid?
I'm not telling you, but trust me. It's. I think there's a feeling, well, I made money because I sold Barstool. Yeah, that's 20 years of work.
Seven figures?
In light of everything, I am wildly, and my salary is wildly underpaid.
Seven figs? Seven? Seven figures?
Seven figures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Do you think new people need some help or guidance at all? If you bring them in as talent, they should just figure it out.
Depends who they are, but yeah, I'm not a big guidance guy. Like, you should be doing that.
No, and we do. I mean, nah, you're a unicorn.
Do it from your palatial estate in Miami.
I mean, we talk every day. Yeah. But like Alex Cooper could come in on her own. She was never here. $1 million. There's a certain unicorn type talent that they don't need anyone. They're just going to be like Dan.
That's
like,
not unicorn talent. Well, it is unicorn talent. That's more talented people. I keep saying, I can't. One, and I had this conversation with Erica the other day. She was talking about different people doing more and blah. It's like, Erica, if a guy throws or a girl throws an 87 mile per hour fastball, I can't just be like, throw it 95. Like, they throw 87. That's how hard that they've maxed out. Well, this is talent. And if you look at the our most successful people are our most talented people. And it's a combo. They work hard. They have it down. But it's like the world needs ditch diggers too. Not everyone's going to be Dan, $1 million worth of game, Alex Cooper, me. That's just not it.
But I think there's some people that stay working at it. Like Chicklets wasn't Chicklets until they added pieces. I don't think Out and About with Pat was as good as it's going to be.
Correct.
Like they keep working towards it and they keep building
so
things.
So I think people are. You don't always hit it overnight. But I don't think there's people I look. You know, the only one I could think of, and he's doing a lot more, is like the little Sass, who maybe he wasn't doing enough. But again, and this is actually an example I think we used when Erica and I were talking about like KB. It was either KB or Little Sass or...
It was KB and Nick.
About the way they tweet.
Yep.
And I'm like, but they don't tweet like me or Dan. They're you can't put them on a tweet. They're different. Every talent is different. It doesn't fit into a box. So I never would be like, tweet more or do this. They're different. There's different types of talent, and they operate differently, and they know their own style better than somebody else.
And I think that's very important to note, but it does feel like, and what I was saying before, to a degree, like what gets you going are the big crowds and, what you see with Brianna, who's great, and what she, that crowd in Alabama is crazy. But like, I think KB and Nick have a very strong fan base as well, but they're just not doing these kinds of content opportunity or, by choice. And that doesn't really catch the eye of you as much.
Well, I mean, I'm just promoting Brit. But I mean, I told Paul, like, we had this conversation. I'm like, you can use my account to promote anything that's good. If you see it, promote it from I'm using my account as a big platform to promote other people. So Brie is on our way. Now, you're also saying it, Kessie. I work with Brie closely because she's on BFFs and I'm doing stuff. So I'm more prone to see everything she's doing. But Paul sent me that. Paul sent me that video. I'm like, oh, this is huge. It's good. To me, it's almost not even, it is about Brie, but it's proving something that is very replicable. Like that, to me, was almost an advertisement for talent. It's like, hey, look at what we do with female stars. And also, like, I didn't want it to be just, I thought about like, because Rhea and Fran have Chicks in the Office, which is big as well. But Brie is literally, I think, on her way to becoming like kind of a megastar. So, from Marbles to Alex to Brie, that's not an accident. Like, something's happening where we are a great launching pad. So if you're a young talent, this is a good spot to be. But that's no disrespect. If I was sent something from KB and Nick, I would post that too. Yeah. Like, my goal is to grow everybody. The more people we have, the more stars we have, the better for everybody. I don't play favorites. Except Smitty, I don't like. But
so you're not going to promote Smitty then?
No. Luckily, I don't have to worry about that.
All right. Well, I thought that was interesting. And you said you guys met.
Like right after that, the Out and About one went. Again, that was Paul. Did that like... this clip still have to be interesting. I mean, and if KB and Nick have interesting stuff, but also, and there's different ways to look at it. KB and Nick are very closely working with Dan, who has like a gigantic platform to push people as well. So that's all. I want as many people seeing our content as humanly possible. The good content.
Now, Paul, what's your do you guys see that? Are you guys that close when it comes to content? Like lockstep? Is there? Do you guys disagree much in the past, or so you trust him full blow? What Paul thinks here?
Well, I mean, usually if he says something's good, yeah, I generally find it to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's I think why he gave he's like, you should just be posting this from me, it's because he wants it to get out there, and he thinks I have a decent. Like, I may bat, 8 out of 10. I'm not going to do anything that's going to get him in trouble. It doesn't really matter
if you miss on Twitter, to be totally honest. It's like you can do unlimited stuff there. But, yeah, I'd say we're pretty – the only hiccups really have been, and it hasn't been a while, is when all the – I feel like we had a couple that shouldn't have been sent out in the heat of, BLM and all that shit. A lot of things were happening then, but – pretty much we see eye to eye on something's good. If he says something's good, I would hire it without really watching it.
Yeah, that was Joey. I was we should hire Joey. Make it happen.
But Paul, you being the social guy, you do have the power to kind of promote those people more, right?
Correct. And we do. And we focus on things that we think are resonating. Dave's in those conversations this is something that's good content. This is something that we want to get more gasoline on. Mm-hmm. This is bringing, that kind of thing. So those conversations happen. Yes.
Gotcha.
But they're not favorites. Those were looking at results and what is performing and going viral. It's it's circling back. If we see something starting to resonate, then that's when you put the marketing behind it to try to build it.
We're seeing it in real time with Joey and Pat. They're breaking through. They're doing things that are making noise. They come on this show you wanted them on. Dave didn't know you were going to bring them on. I've been putting him on social because it's just stuff that's making a lot of noise outside of, what we have normally been seeing from them. So, yeah.
And there is, I've always said this, people we want promo, we want this, we want that. There's diminishing rewards on what we promote. If you promote everything, even if you know it's not great, that takes away from the tweets for other stuff. So we have to be kind of judicious with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean it's really no different than wrestling. You got to get on the main card. You got to get you're trying to get on Raw. So
yes, and you can kind of see who's starting to get pop, and then you try to make them big, and it's the best interest of everybody to make them big.
Yeah, and I think there's always going to be some debate about who this guy gets more, this person.
100%.
That's just how it is. That's just how it is. When
we get an issue is when the people that are complaining and you look at their things why aren't you posting on TikTok or Instagram? It's you're depending on Barstool, go make the noise. You have the
that channel. Has infuriated me forever. Whenever the fastest way for me to generally realize somebody's not going to work out at Barstool is when they say, the main account didn't promote me enough. It's all right, who fucking cares?
Yeah. Do you want to hear these last four?
Four, sure.
Number five. What was the last one I said? Never change who you are. That should be hired. Number four, find the solution. Don't be the problem.
Yeah, I think just figure it out's fine, but yeah.
Don't be afraid to try something new.
Yep.
Number six, common sense. Use it.
Yep.
Number seven, be there for your audience.
Yep.
Number eight, always think about what more you can do to help.
Yeah, I mean, I know there's an element, and this is going to be coming, I think, and there'll be more on it. At some point, the world needs ditch diggers, too. There's people maybe who have been trying to create brands, podcasts, whatever, for a while, and it hasn't picked up. Maybe you're not an A player. But maybe you can help another brand that is A and add a lot of value to them. That's something I think we're going to look at.
And you got to look at these values or something that how do they apply to finance? A lot of them are cross channel, that type of thing. If you're in marketing, help out in other ways or whatever. It's not just content we're looking at for this stuff.
Oh, so you're thinking here where there's going to be a situation where if content people aren't catching on, you're going to put them in a different role with a successful product.
No. I'm saying the values are structured that they are not just for content people. This is could this apply to marketing people? Could this apply to sales people?
Let's take, but on the content side, let's hypothetically take a podcast that's not doing well that I don't know. I'm like, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. And somebody's trying to convince me it'll work. It's like, I don't see it. And I don't know, cracking aces. Who, what, four people listen to? Like, why are we wasting time on that when every second could be to a bigger brand creating tweets or content for something else that actually people pay attention to? That's just a hypothetical.
The dog does it by himself, but you're right. There are shows that are similar audiences that have dedicated three or four people to it. And then you look at maybe like the Yak, where it's like, why do we have like no social person or no production? Like there's, you know, why, you know,
who's cutting up the Yak? Right. Like shit like that. Like yesterday, yeah. And it's star new. I'm going to start doing more rundowns. Eddie, do you do Chicago? Does Wednesday?
Yeah, we do Wednesdays.
Yeah. So I'm going to start trying to do 2 to 3 rundowns a week, host it remote. We did it yesterday with myself, obviously the original three, me, Dan, Kevin. Nobody cut it up. I'm sitting there around like 8 o'clock. I'm like, where are the fucking clips? Like the main reason we did it yesterday is the number one story was Wisconsin, Michigan. Mm-hmm. Home run for us. No clips. None. I was like, who the fuck is doing this? What are we? Nobody's doing it. Like we have all these people. Somebody's, Quiggs is now going to do it when I'm on. But like shit like that should not happen.
We're getting the Stoolies Clubhouse. They're the new
Pete Zucker. Yeah, that has been going on. I have ranted about stuff like this. We have people who do not work for us, who work harder than the people who work for us.
I interviewed that kid. He's an interesting. You know what he does for a living? He works on a lilac farm in Northern California.
It's kind of
he just
awesome.
Drives around in like tractor and cuts things on his phone.
Wow.
We've had that many times. The guy who's the radio. It's like, all right, well, we have enough people sitting around. You know, it's a degree. Like, would I like to see guys like Glennie and Big Ev, and who I like both of them, both fat. But would I like to see guys like that learn new skills where they can chip in and like edit and do stuff and make them more of a like a Swiss Army knife? Yeah. And that would increase their worth to us and their salaries in the future. Glennie doesn't look past what he's having for lunch, and that's fine, but you'll be in that spot for a while. And I love Glennie. And I'm not going to tell you to do it, but if you're looking further down the road, it's that, I guess, how do I make myself more useful here? Like when this started again, Paul cut up, and they weren't like works of art. But like, how do you think he learned how to make like blackout videos? Or we learned. It's like no one else is going to do it for us, so we fucking learned how to do it ourselves. That mentality does not exist at Barstool anymore, unfortunately. And I remember, I've told the story, when I hired Alex Cooper, after I saw her sizzle, I was like, who made that for you? She's like, I learned. I read, I learned, I studied how to do it, I made it myself. That's when she said that, I was like, all right, you're hired.
What? Why is there a new effort for you to get behind the rundown again?
I want to be more part of content, really. Like, I have time to do it.
Do you feel like there's been a lull? Are you concerned about the content? Is that why? Or you just want to be more in the mix?
No, I'm not concerned about it.
No. Because I know you did say, like, you know, you were thinking about maybe headed back, right?
Yeah, for a little bit. That was more, I thought things were running, like, I don't know, somebody had to just stomp on people for a little bit. But then I wake up and it's 80 degrees here and it's like, no thanks. It's like 20 years of doing this. I gotta move back to because the inmates are running loose. Let them run loose. People die. I'll be fine.
And can you get into it? And we could cut this if you can't, but I heard there might have been a little meeting, you two down there, some other important people, about everything else that's going on.
No, that's not true.
No, that's untrue.
That's untrue.
There was no meeting.
We had like a conference call with Erica, but it, like, Paul came over for a second, but I would not say it was. I talked to Erica all the time, and it was nothing out of the ordinary.
I think it was a lot about
what we just talked about, like on the production side, really.
Gotcha. So it wasn't like a long, big thing?
No.
Okay.
Like an hour, maybe?
Now, I saw there's a couple the Barstool Athletes guy's leaving? What's the update on that? You don't know?
No. I didn't know we had a Barstool Athletes guy. I didn't know he was leaving.
Did you know Dylan Sad Eyes is leaving?
I did. That's sad. What happened? I thought, did he get denied for a promotion? I thought he was trying to get a promotion here. That kid, he could take a beating. Those guys don't come around that often. I heard Dan told me. That's sad.
Yeah, he got a sales job somewhere. I think he tried to become a sales guy here, maybe. I don't know if the story's correct, but he wanted to do something else. I think,
yeah, right. And I said I'd put in a word for him.
Yeah. So he got a sales job somewhere else.
He's going to be the worst salesman ever lived. He won't be good at that, so maybe we'll get him back.
When's his last day?
Imagine him selling you something? Jesus. I love that. Good luck. I like him, so I'm glad he got hired, but he's not cut out for that.
Sad Eyes, there's some sympathy buyers out there, certainly, right?
Yeah, he'd fall asleep when he's giving you the pitch.
We might need to bring him on next week maybe, give him one last lashing.
He definitely would misquote you, too. Like, hey, it costs this much, and he's just way off.
We need one last lashing from you, Dave. You need to.
He took it. He could take it.
So let's get some anger on next week. Last couple topics here. Ben Mintz enjoys the float parade, and he also had a nice dance with Megan making money.
Yeah. Hey, it's Mintzy's world. He's doing it. We're now in, I guess, the barbecue business, too. We're competing in some tournament. He's bringing smokers and pit masters from all over the country.
That's great. Have you always wanted to get in the barbecue game?
I like barbecue. Mm-hmm. I've never thought much about getting in the game, but I like barbecue. I love barbecue.
The Barstool YouTube hit 1 million subscribers.
Yeah, so I know the Yak did a big drive for it. Now, how does that work? Is that specific, or is like the One Bite has like 500,000, I think. Is that part of the Barstool?
No.
No. Oh, that's cool.
You're your own world. So there's like, you know, $1 million worth of game has 500,000. Barstool Sports is one channel that has 1 million. So
theoretically, if $1 million worth of game, or me, or anybody left Barstool, what happens to that channel?
We own
it's a
the
fantastic question.
We own the brand. We own the brand.
But $1 million worth of game is a brand that does not work with, and neither is One Bite without me or them. Like
some of the brands are under us, like the Barstool Rundown.
So you can't flow those subscribers into Barstool Sports.
No.
I wonder if I could increase mine if I'm like follow. I feel like I've tried a couple times. Like, do we gain on our YouTube?
You never promoted this one.
Say an update. You had a big week this week because one of your shorts went kind of viral. You had over 1 million views.
What's a short? Nice.
It's like basically the TikTok version of YouTube that they're pushing hard.
Who posts those?
We did. Like Kareem and Austin or someone in that group.
And it's so not the pizza review?
It's like it was from the day.
No, it was the crypto whale one. What?
There's Dave Portnoy and there's One Bite. Two different channels.
You have three channels, basically, Dave. You have the One Bite channel, you have BFFs, and you have Dave Portnoy Show. Those are the three that we push stuff to. The Dave Portnoy Show, one of the shorts that was posted on there went, like, kind of viral. But also, the Midas Touch thing actually, like, grew the YouTube
holy
a ton,
shit.
Too.
What's YouTube? 616?
Dave Portnoy Show. So we put the Midas Touch one on
and we're
Dave
probably
Portnoy
not
Show.
Good enough at this. Kareem and Austin, I don't know. We could be probably better at pushing off.
No, our YouTube's growing.
Yeah, but that's but I'm a man child. I mean, it grows despite everything. Like, I just grow. I mean, Instagram's literally got me in a little jar with a fucking thing on it, and I'm still trying to grow.
Subscribe.
Like,
to
it makes
channel.
No sense. Paul always denies it. Like, my review with Kevin Malone on YouTube has 400,000 views. On Instagram, it has 10. Not like 10,000. Like, it has like 10. 10. Makes no sense.
But on the YouTube topic, you did say that. I have noticed there are a lot of people, content people, have their own personal channel that they post all their stuff on. So that's interesting to me how that's going to work out. I don't know.
We've gone back and forth on that. It should always be Barstool first.
So what about like a Sass or like a Jordan Woodruff that posts only on
Son
their personal?
Yeah.
Or, like, they post their, like, main thing to, like, hers is Jordan Woodruff, like, her name.
Yeah, that should like what happens. Be the case. Paul, I thought Paul was the one though doing that. He said he posts Jordan on ours and gets big numbers.
You're muted, Kaz.
This guy.
I think there's three people that have that came into the company with YouTube with a following, and they wanted to be able to use that to grow their shows. And that was like
that also can affect like how people come in, what they get, and things like that. I mean, that was always a different thing. Like the Caller Daddy, it's like the Spittin' Chicklets guys get paid more than us. Like, yeah, Biz came in with a million fucking followers. You came in with zero. Like, he was a way bigger star than you were until you fucking ate him for lunch. But still.
Speaking of growth, do you want to get into what was the big topic at the Chicks in the Office show in L.A.? Do you remember?
Oh, me saying that I thought I was more relevant than what's his name?
Yeah, did you hear this, Gaz?
I've come off of this a little bit.
Good. That's a good move by you.
But that's just because I've had enough people say he's a huge deal. I underestimate his relevance. He's not relevant to me. Fine, but I could have been wrong.
You called Dave
morons. More an insult to him than it was. Well, I still, by the way.
Are you guys talking about?
Dave Zac said Efron. He was more relevant than Zac Efron, which is insane.
It came about this way. We were going to the Chicks in the Office show, and MB is behind me. He's like, you'll never believe who's coming to this show. Like, you'll never believe. He's huge. He's huge. He's huge. I'm like, is fucking Brady coming? Is Leonardo coming? I turn around. I was like, who's coming? And she said, Zac Efron. And I just looked at him like, I'm not going to say what I'm about to say. She's like, say it. It's like, nope. It's like, I think I'm more relevant than Zac Efron. Turned into a big debate. I've asked around. I'm like, how big of a star is Efron? A lot of people are saying he's A. I'm not an A guy. If he's A, I'm not an A.
Yeah, but who got you off your spot? Because my first inkling was like, I was kind of thinking like.
I asked Grutman. I'm like, how big is Efron? He's like, he's bigger than his normal. But it's all over. Here's my thing on this. And people underestimate this about me. And what I was saying about Efron. I am in so many different, I am known a million different ways. Efron, I didn't watch that movie. I know he's in some huge movie, but like, I feel like he doesn't do anything. I'm everywhere. People know me as Pizza. I have the TikTok crowd who I don't think knows who Efron is. They're too young. I'm in politics. I know I say I'm not, but I am. Barstool entrepreneur. I'm in finance. I can go anywhere and people know who I am. I don't mean that in a cocky way, but like there's just different crowds who know me and it piles into a ton of people.
The follower count was a big smash too, Paul. Once he saw that Efron's rocking 51 mil.
Yeah, that's tough.
On IG.
I said he could pass Dave in TikTok followers in like maybe 3 hours if he joined. And he's like, yeah, well, I'm shadow.
Listen, you can't judge that shit with me because I can't grow on TikTok.
You're shadow banned on there too?
Yes. I'm shadow banned everywhere. When you get in the mud like I do, they don't like it.
And is Paul ever going to reach out, try to figure this out for you or what?
He always says no, they don't do it. It's like, well, I have 4 million followers on TikTok, on Instagram, and 0 views in 4 hours. So, I mean, something's happening.
Your review with Kevin from The Office had like 30,000 views or something. Did you see that?
Yeah, and nothing. It had nothing. And yet it was all the other platforms that was going crazy. So, yeah, all right. It's being suppressed.
Barstool Sports has never grown faster than it does. And that's what I help control with my team. Dave Portnoy account, they do things the way they do it. They're fucking renegades. They break the rules. They do all kinds of shit. I can't.
We post pizza reviews.
Yeah, but you also post like videos that you don't have rights to that you could get.
It's not that. It's like I get in a debate with the fucking Mahia twins or whatever, and people don't like it.
Yeah, you all. Yes.
It has to be stated one more time. Preposterous thinking.
So again,
High School Musical was a fucking big deal.
Who's the biggest person, Dave, in your world?
Time out. It was like Family Feud. If you surveyed 100 random people, cross-section of America, and who would you rather meet, me or Efron? I think I win that.
think it's
well,
like
that's
90,
a different
10.
Argument. That's a different argument.
Well, no, it isn't. That means I'm more relevant.
No.
Why?
Who would
more
you rather
people
meet
want to meet me
like,
than him? That means I'm more relevant.
But no, dude, no, because that's like saying I would rather get a beer with John Daly. I'd rather meet him than Tom Brady.
All right, that is a way that deflects my argument. So then how would you do it? Who's more relevant then? If you ask the question, who is more relevant on Family Feud?
Listen, okay, I'll give you this. 2020?
How can it be more direct than that?
What was your monster year, 2020?
Every year is a monster year.
Well, you had one specific
year
that was
like insane.
No, every
year I'm a monster.
No. There was
one,
right?
No, every year I'm a monster.
No. There was one that was fucking massive.
I was voted like the number one guy in sports media. Every year I'm a monster. Every year. Monster every year.
That was the unboxing year you were talking about when he did unboxing, day trader. He did all that shit.
Yes.
Barstool
that
fun.
Year.
Barstool fun. Sports book.
Yes.
Zac Efron was inside. He wasn't like filming anything.
Yeah. So 2020, you had a bigger year than
I'm saying heard. Right now, Family Feud, top 10 answers on the board or whatever. But we survey 100 people, fair cross section of the United States. Who is more relevant? Me or Efron? I think I can win that still.
If you put out a poll on
so
like the Dave Portnoy show, what if we put out a poll that's on our Twitter, like which is your crowd? Do you think you would win?
I don't know. That will skew his crowd overall. Like what I'm saying, like a lot of the people who are my crowd, like I have Middle America, I have the Fox News people who watch me. They're not probably on that, but we could do it. But I'm going to lose out. Like, the Dave Portnoy show, I think are all going to know who Efron is.
Yes. He's had a – he hasn't done much since 2019. I don't know. Yeah, so, he hasn't done much.
Can someone look up the definition of relevant then?
He's got a movie.
But his last movie,
soon.
He played fucking Ted Bundy on a Netflix show. That was pretty big. All
right, great. Movies.
Well, Neighbors, that was good. I like Neighbors.
I don't hate Neighbors.
Regardless,
he's big. I underestimate how big he is, but I don't think it was as crazy as you're making it seem.
Pretty crazy, but agree to disagree.
Fine, fucking put on. Okay, put on. What are you going to say? Who's
what's the tweet? Who is more relevant?
No. If you ask 100 people across section of the United States who is more relevant, Dave Portnoy or Zac Efron, that's the question.
All right.
Because you have to take that into account. It's not just who's more you have to understand you're going for all of like the United States. Cuz that's my point, that I get everybody from every area.
Yeah, if you ask 100 people across the country who is more relevant, Dave Portnoy or Zac Efron, who would you vote for?
I think if you're going on the coasts, yeah, Zac Efron. East Coast, West Coast, Middle America? I don't know. It's a big part of the United States.
Well, you're certainly in the news more.
Can someone, again, define relevant?
Yeah. I. All right. We'll see what the polls say. We'll see what the polls say. Coach Prime premieres tonight.
Yeah, it looks great. It goes through him almost losing his leg. I've seen a bunch of it, and that was serious shit. So that I assume will get a lot of people talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll save it for next week. I was going to ask about Rough and Rowdy. Is there time?
No
to,
update.
No update. Okay.
Here's three people though. I want two. I'm going to try to get future guests Jimmy Buffett, Charles Barkley.
For this show?
Yeah, for this show.
That'd be awesome. Please subscribe to this show. By the way, let's get us up there.
Somebody's gonna get it. Work.
What do you mean? You can't do this. Don't do this now. It's a good show.
I didn't say anything.
You know what you did.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I don't.
Let's get them both. That'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Right.
There's one other person I had in mind too, but I forget.
Well, I had my list. Remember I showed you?
Yeah.
Can I say it publicly so we could make it happen?
Sure.
TMZ, Harvey Levin.
Yeah, that's a good one.
John Taffer, Bill Burr, Mark Cuban, Dave Gruppman, Nicholas Braun, and Bert Kreischer.
Good list.
Thank you. Let's make it happen. Dave, thank you. I thought that was a good show.
You're welcome.
Subscribe to the YouTube one more time.
How many does our YouTube have?
71K. Ugh. You got to get it up. You got to get that plaque.
Gross. 71? Gross.
I don't think you've ever promoted it, though.
Whose fault is that? Fucking Kareem.
What? We promote it every week. What are you talking about, Eddie?
But not say to subscribe, dude. That's a way different thing. Like you
well,
did.
Sure. We've never gotten Dave in front of a camera being like, hey, I need subscribers.
But you can use my social and all that. This is the stuff I talk about. Listen.
No, we tweet the clip every week.
We'll subscribe and shit so like different. That. And like
wait,
what Yak does and try
Gaz,
to drive.
Gaz gets the numbers, the growth numbers. Percentage-wise, how is DPS doing in the last, like, let's say, 3 or 4 months, Gaz?
We'll come back with that. I don't have that off the
but,
top.
But let me say this, Kareem. If I made a drive to promote it without using my face, like so people don't know who's promoting it from my socials, but if I ran it for a week, do you think I could outperform you? I know I can.
No, you're saying if you can't use like the fact that it's you, like you can't just sit in front of a camera and be like, hey, I'm
correct.
Trying to like in
correct.
A competition? No, I don't. I think we're doing like
– all right, fine.
Look at the view numbers.
Yes, get me last week's. Get me last week's subscriptions. I'll do it this week, and we'll see if I can do it.
So, Dave Portnoy Show, how many subscribers?
But we got to cut this. We got to cut. I don't want
wait,
people
but,
to know it's me.
So, it's on an average week, though. Like, we can't just use last week. Like, that's an outlier week to the week before we did Midas Touch. We gained however many. It's
no.
3X.
Right. You can't use Midas Touch because that's you doing nothing.
But so you have to take
it's
the
average,
though,
it's a typical week
no?
where nothing big happens, like this past week. You can't factor in Midas Touch. You don't get credit for Midas Touch.
Oh, you should do an average and do it over the span
no,
of like 2-3 weeks.
It's last week, nothing happened. This week, nothing happened. I'll kick the shit out of it without people knowing it's me.
How are you going to do that, though? What's the
Be
what's
creative.
The
use my brain. Think.
No, but I mean, what's the way, though? Like, what do you like,
I,
what's
be
one
creative.
Idea? You're tweeting, right? You're just
going
to go on Twitter and
Instagram,
say
Instagram,
like,
whatever. But I will do nothing that you couldn't do the same exact type tweet. Or like people won't – like people when Gaz tweeted, you know, the out and about, they don't know that was him. Versus it won't – it'll be everything that I do, you will be able to do.
What about volume? Like we're limited on volume. We can't
– Says who?
I you're saying I could just every day be like, hey, you know that DPS
wait a minute.
YouTube.
That's the dumbest thing. Like that's almost a fireable offense. You're limited on volume. All Paul
maybe
and
not
I
limited.
Said to
I'm saying like
for
we,
a month is you don't do enough.
But I'm saying we promote it through like the first couple days, and then we like stagger out the clips throughout the week.
Why?
But if we could every day post a new clip, I'm saying like if
we've
you're just going
to
go
get
on,
you to do that, Kareem.
We do that
then
on every.
What are you talking about?
We're losing the point here. I
no,
said,
we're not. You're like, what do you mean? There is no limit to how much you can promote if it's working.
Not, we do that on the Dave Portnoy Show socials,
so then
though.
What
I'm saying,
do you
like,
mean,
every
like,
day.
I can't promote it.
Wait, are you doing it on the Dave Portnoy Show socials?
No,
or
I'm
going to
do it on my own and
right,
everything.
So, but
which
then
you
we can,
always
every
have
day.
The option to do. The fact that you don't think you have the option to promote and do shit through all my channels to promote everything is insane.
No, we promote it everywhere. I'm saying
so then
like,
what are we talking about?
Throughout the week. Like if I so the episode's on Tuesday, right?
So
could
you
I
don't
on Saturday
think you
go
have the
in?
Right to promote continuously?
We put no, I don't think that. I think we post the lead clip on your social once when it drops and that's it.
Literally we've been getting these stats from Paul and it's like you're like $1 million worth of game is out promoting you like 100 to 1. Pick up the pace. Pick up the pace. And now
that's TikTok, and we are out promoting.
It's not TikTok. It's everything.
We're having different arguments here, I think. I'm saying on your social, we post on Tuesday when it drops, right? And then can we go – like
of
you're saying
course.
You'd be fine with
why
us going.
Why would you think you were limited?
We've never done that even before I was doing it. Bonner didn't do that. Nobody's ever
Bonner
done that.
Bonner sucked and is not here.
But I'm saying that's always been like the standard.
There isn't
like it's
always
like,
anything. I don't know how this is a crazy conversation. Your job is to get as many views and as many followers and as many anything across every channel using every means possible. How does that not resonate?
No, it resonates. I'm saying what my point is on your social accounts, we only do it for the lead clip and don't throughout the week do it. And it's never been that way. But
why?
I'm saying if you're given the green light, I have no ideas.
I've given the green light forever, Kareem. I don't know how you don't think you have that green light.
It's never been the case, but all right. I've heard.
Why, all right, then why wouldn't you at some point be like, why don't we do this? Do you?
Because, the growth numbers right now are okay. Like, we're doing
They're not
right.
Okay. They can always be better. What are you talking
yes, I
about?
I agree.
You're the wrong guy. This is why I get mad. You are the wrong guy to run my shit if you're like, nope, it's okay. We're growing enough. Where
no,
I don't
of course you can always
grow
more.
So
I agree with that point.
About?
I agree that could, that. All right, we'll do the, like, the challenge thing, I guess.
If you ever think that, oh, no, it's okay, then you're the wrong guy for me.
No, I'm saying, that, of course, you could always do better. That's the given.
So why wouldn't we post more? The only reason to not post more is if you have concrete evidence you're oversaturating and it's hurting the numbers. But you're saying we've never even tried it, and I'm saying
we will now
adjust
and
try. Give me a week, and I will have bigger numbers by far than you did last week for doing stuff that you could do, but apparently you've sat there and been like, nope, we're okay. I'm pleased with how we're doing.
All right, we'll see, I suppose. But my point was that we don't currently post on your account more than
Tuesday. If I hadn't been doing this for 20 fucking years and I wanted to enjoy my life for a fucking second, and I reverted back. Do you think like I was? This is
no. I just don't think it'll be exponentially greater.
Everything that I'm talking about, where people get comfortable here. Like I need somebody who's not comfortable. I need almost, and maybe I'm thinking out now. I need a competition within my team. Like people trying to keep track of who posts what, and whoever is getting the more gets the job. The other person's gone.
But I just don't think it'll be exponentially more. Is my point when you do it, but
you don't know because you haven't tried.
No. I was saying in terms of posting on your social
but
account.
But you don't know because you haven't
Tuesday,
tried.
What the difference would be if we posted more than
posted
just the lead day.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Yeah.
I don't know how this hasn't come through because I feel like we've had this direct conversation.
I don't know that we have, but I guess I was confused with what you were saying.
Yeah, I mean, it came up over the last couple of months. And I would call out just like, Barstool Sports, the account at Barstool Sports posts more than anything in the company and grows faster than anything in the company. So there's no oversaturation. And we're posting shit like blogs. We're doing everything. So you can always go at least to that bar and still be successful. Dave has enough content. So there's
no, but
there's
Kareem's.
We're talking about the YouTube numbers, no?
It's everything, Kareem. I don't. What are you fucking a moron? It's everything. It is every fucking thing, Kareem. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, all of it.
All right.
That's a show.
Well, we got to cut that please. If we're doing the competition, but yeah.
What a show. You like that one, Gas?
I thought it was very interesting from a business perspective and content creation and how things are, you know, should be constructed moving forward and how they've gotten away from where we've been in the past, like way past, you know, how we've kind of shifted over the years as we've become bigger and more like bloated probably, and people becoming more dependent. I thought that was good for him to weigh in on. And I think if I was a content creator here, I'd be very interested in hearing this episode.
I agree.
I don't know about audience. Does audience, that's one thing I wonder, like the audience care about how we create content. I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't.
It's inside Barstool, so.
It's very inside.
Yeah. All right. That's it for today, everybody. Thank you for listening. Once again, subscribe to the YouTube. We'll see you guys next week.